we could chat all day, but we're going to move ahead and center ourselves for a time of prayer. Today's prayer is from the United Methodist Church. This was written and shared with churches, and I want to share this with you as our prayer today. Let's pray. When everything was dark, and it seemed that the sun would never shine again, your love broke through. Your love was too strong, too wide, too deep for death to hold. The sparks cast by your love dance and spread and burst forth with resurrection light. Gracious God, we praise you for the light of new life made possible through Jesus. We praise you for the light of new life that shone on the first witnesses of resurrection. We praise you for the light of new life that continues to shine in our hearts today. We pray that the Easter light of life, hope, and joy will live in us each day, and that we will be bearers of that light into the lives of others. Amen. Our scripture today is the Easter story as it comes to us in the Gospel of John. Hear these words and try to picture the scene in your head as I read. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not touch me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All right. Today is, we're ending a series that we've done all Lent. And the series has been called Moving from Real Life to Real Love. And we're looking at kind of our real life dilemmas and how Christ can transform them in different ways. So today, for Easter, we're talking about moving from sadness to joy. So joy is different from happiness, right? Happiness is something we try to have day to day. I hope you're having a happy Easter, that kind of thing. But joy is something altogether different. Joy is profound, kind of transcendent, you know, this kind of state of bliss. and it can change your whole outlook on life. I want to tell you a story about moving from sadness to joy. This happened to me when I was a junior in college. It was spring break, and my friend Tim, his grandparents had a cabin out in southwest Kansas, just out in the middle of the woods, not a special cabin or anything, but it was a cabin, and we were going to go out there for spring break. We were going to paint the cabin while we were out there, and it wasn't just Tim and I, it was several of our friends, guys and girls. We were all going out there and having a great weekend, and we were really looking forward to it. And one of the reasons we were looking forward to it so much was that Jones was coming with us. Jones was Tim's new kitten. And he was so cute. Even you cat haters would be, oh, he's so cute. He just had this kind of attitude. I'm Jones, and I'm a cat. And he was just fun to be around. We all loved this cat. So we went out to the cabin. We played with the cat in the cabin. The next day, we went out and we were painting. We painted the whole cabin outside. We got done, and we're all kind of relaxing and just enjoying the evening. And somebody says, "Where's Jones? Have you seen Jones?" None of us had seen Jones, and we looked all through the cabin, and we looked under beds everywhere. And Jones was missing. And we realized people have been going in and out all day. And so Jones might have gotten outside. This little kitten. So we went and we looked all the way around the cabin, calling Jones' name, and he wasn't there. And, you know, we were very scared that he had just run off into the woods. He didn't know where he was. He would have gotten lost or killed. We were really sad, and we sat in that living room, and we were just all silent and kind of just bummed out. And one of the girls said, "You know, it's almost like I can hear him meow." And I said, "I know." And a couple seconds later, one of the other girls said, "No, I can hear him meow." And we all targeted in on the meow, and it was the couch. Jones had climbed in behind the cushion and was just calmly resting in the inner workings of the couch this whole time. "I'm Jones, I'm just hanging out in the couch." I gotta tell you, when we pulled that cat out, that was joy. That was so great a moment. Some of us even wiped away a few tears, but they were tears of joy. And I always remember that day. That's what I'm talking about. This, you know, this unexpected reversal from deep sadness to joy. That is so powerful. You get what I'm talking about, right? It's more than just a good feeling. It's something that goes down to your soul and kind of vibrates there. Have you felt joy lately? It's one of the highlights of human experience, and we deserve to have it as part of our lives. It's supposed to be part of our lives. It's in our Bible. Joy shows up a lot in the Bible. Did you know that? You search for the word rejoice, which means that to have joy, shows up 228 times in the Bible. And if you search for the word joy itself, that shows up 269 times. Joy is a big part, not just of the human experience. It's a gift from God that we're supposed to have. So when is the last time you had joy? Well, you are in luck because today happens today to be the biggest day of the whole year for Christians to experience joy. That's what this day is all about. The joy that life has conquered death. And perhaps the person that best illustrates what that joy looks like that's going to be Mary Magdalene. You know, all four Gospels, well, they talk about women visiting the tomb, you know? It's a different configuration in each Gospel, but there's one constant, Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene visits the tomb. And in John that we're talking about today, that is absolutely the case. She comes alone. You know, it's hard for us to picture what it had been like for the disciples after Jesus' crucifixion, but you want to talk about sadness. This is that kind of sadness that settles in your gut, like the world's never going to be the same again. And so they're all in their homes and they're sleeping a troubled sleep, and Mary, she can't sleep at all. She gets up, she goes right at first light, and she's going to go anoint Jesus' body, prepare it for its burial. And so she comes to the tomb, and she sees the stone rolled away. That also shows up in every story. And her sadness had to only deepen because she thinks somebody has stolen Jesus' body. So she runs back, and she wakes up the disciples who are together, and she says, somebody has taken his body. And Peter and John jump up, and they run to the tomb. And Mary stays back, but she comes with them, and they look in the tomb. They see the wrappings, you know, taken off of the body, but they're folded up like somebody just got up and folded up their sheet and made the bed. And they leave wondering, what's going on here? Something strange is going on. Then they're gone, and Mary's alone again. She looks in the tomb. She sees two angels. She doesn't recognize them as angels. They don't have big wings. They're not flapping with halos. Angels show up as men, look like men in the Bible. So there's a couple guys in there, and they say, what are you looking for? She says again, they've taken the body. And then the gardener is standing behind her. And the gardener says, who are you looking for? And again, this is the third time she says it. You've taken the body. Tell me where the body is, and I will go get it. And then she hears something that changes everything. It is not a meow. It is a name. Mary. Jesus speaks her name, and instantly her whole life is turned upside down, or right side up. Her unbearable sadness is washed away by this joy. And we are invited to feel that too. That's why this got written down. So that it's not just Mary's experience, it's our experience too. So can you feel it? Maybe. I don't know about you, but I don't always just feel joy on command. But maybe you're feeling that this morning, or maybe you've got doubts about resurrection, or you're just not feeling it and you don't know why. It's okay. The joy is still there. Because this is the moment when the scales tilted between the bad and the good in the world. And the good wins. It's the joy of a Savior who is stronger than death itself. And it stems from this moment when Mary saw Jesus. And it just ripples out. And it hits us. It's coming at us. Here's the kicker. She wasn't the only one in that story experiencing joy. You know who else experienced joy at that moment? Yeah, you're not going to know because it's a children's sermon answer. You know, what do they always, when they ask a question, children's sermons? Who was it that did that? Who is it? Jesus! Oh, you got it right. Good job. You want to talk about strong emotions? Think about what Jesus' experience has been like. He experienced denial and betrayal, the shame of a trial. He experienced execution on a cross. Remember him in the garden? He was crying tears of blood. Do you think he was happy then? No, he was sad. And you remember him saying on the cross, "Forgive them, they don't know what they're doing." He was not happy in that moment. He was sad. In his life, he had good days and bad days, just like you and I. He mentions joy and rejoicing several times, though. He talks about rejoicing in finding the kingdom of God. He rejoices that he is there with his friends, his disciples. You remember the moment when he said, "Have the little children come," and he puts the kids on his knee and stuff? He was not sad at that moment. He was full of joy. And now he experiences an even greater joy, the joy of resurrection. He's back. And the first person he encounters is perhaps his closest friend, Mary. That's really cool to think about, isn't it? I never have thought about that before. Easter is a really cool day for Jesus, too. Duh. So Mary had it, and Jesus had it. How can we have more joy in our lives? Should we just pencil Easter in on the calendar and hope for the best one day a year? No, I think we can do better than that. For many of us, joy is kind of rare. We can have good days and we can have bad days, but those joyful moments, they don't always come. It can feel like we don't have any power or control over joy. And it's all based on outside things happening that are going to cause joy. It doesn't have anything to do with what's in here. But that's not true. We can be open to joy. We can be expectant of it. When you do that, it changes your whole orientation. When you're looking for joy, when you're listening for the joy of Christ calling your name, that's when you hear it. That's called flexing your faith. You know, faith is a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it gets. And when you have a strong faith, you begin to realize that God is sending out joy vibes constantly, all the time. Why would God do anything else? I've been working on this personally, and I've been thinking about this week, and I've had two songs running through my head. If you know these, you can sing with me. The first one is, "This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me." You know that one? "This joy that I had, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away." That's theologically sound. That's really good. And the other one, I bet you know those ones. "I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart." Where? "Down in my heart, down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart, down in my heart to stay." It goes on from there. But I've really enjoyed having those songs going through my head. It's just a reminder. Look for joy. Be open to joy. If you remember either of those songs, you can forget the rest of this whole sermon. This is right there. Truthfully, I'm not an expert at joy by any means. I'm working on it. I consider myself joyful in training because I'm open to it. I'm seeking it. I believe in it because I believe that Christ lives in me, down in my heart. I hope that you can feel that joy. Maybe today, maybe sometime this week. It could be something as little as finding a lost cat or as big as finding a lost Savior. Joy is a gift from God, and God is someone that you can never lose. Happy Easter. No, joyful Easter. Amen.